You're listening to SBS News.
The list of global conflicts is a long one. Ethiopia and Eritrea fought over the Tigray region, and Azerbaijan and Armenia went back and forth between temporary truces and all-out conflict in Nagorno-Karabakh. In Syria, the Islamic State has mostly been defeated, yet the war rages into its 10th year between the Syrian Free Army and Syrian regime forces, resulting in thousands of deaths and the displacement of millions over the past decade. Afghanistan found no peace in 2020 with bombings that killed dozens so commonplace that often they do not make it onto the global evening news. In the Middle East, Iranian, Israeli, and American tensions have reached disconcerting heights with the assassination of Major General Qasem Soleimani of the Iranian Islamic Revolutionary Guard, then the killing of the nation's top nuclear scientist, Mohsen Fakhrizadeh. The Saudi-led coalition forces' six-year war against the Iran-backed Houthi militia has caused famine in Yemen. In Africa, conflicts are raging as an Islamist insurgency takes place, with brutal attacks against civilians commonplace. Between regional conflicts and COVID-19, it has been a deadly year for humanity, with the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres calling for the world to unite to defeat the COVID-19 virus.
Hatred is spreading. Geopolitical tensions are escalating, and nuclear weapons remain on hair trigger alert. Transformative technologies have opened up new opportunities, but also exposed new threats. And the COVID-19 pandemic has laid bare the world's fragilities. We can only address them together.
On the morning of September the 27th, clashes in the unresolved Nagorno-Karabakh conflict led to war after both the armed forces of Azerbaijan and Armenia reported military and civilian casualties. Turkey and Russia tried to use their influence to secure a truce, but clashes continued with both sides claiming Nagorno-Karabakh as their home. On the 10th of November, after weeks of clashes in which more than 4,000 people were killed, including 140 civilians, Russia's President Vladimir Putin announced a deal had been struck to end the conflict and that Russian peacekeepers would be deployed along the line of contact. In Africa, several countries have been coping with Islamist insurgencies, while others, like South Sudan, dealt with their intercommunal fighting. According to the UNHCR, nearly 2 million people have been displaced in the Sahel region this year, raising the total number of displaced across sub-Saharan Africa to more than 27 million. Capturing global headlines in 2020 in Africa was the Tigray conflict. In early November, Ethiopia's federal government declared war on its northern region of Tigray, one of 10 semi-autonomous federal states organized along ethnic lines in Ethiopia and home mostly to the Tigrayan people, who make up about 6% of Ethiopia's population. The conflict stemmed from a long-running feud between the Tigrayan People's Liberation Front, also known as the TPLF, and the Ethiopian government led by Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed since 2018. On the 4th of November, Mr. Abiy ordered military operations against leaders of the TPLF after alleged attacks by the group on two federal army camps in Tigray. The resulting conflict has caused tens of thousands of civilians to flee into Sudan and led to hundreds being killed. Hospitals already struggling with coronavirus were inundated with the injured. One young doctor in Tigray said the armed conflict made dealing with the pandemic more complex.
Hundreds of civilians, people that are injured by the fighting. But they also found 14 cases of COVID-19, which again adds layers and layers of complexity to an already existing calamity.
On the 29th of November, less than a month after clashes began, Mr. Abiy declared that military operations had ended, but the UNHCR's head, Filippo Grandi, said fears of reprisals between communities continue to be present.
I think that going forward, it will be important for the government of Ethiopia to re-establish peace, to have a silence of the guns, but also to ensure that there are no retaliation or reprisals between communities, because this is what many have mentioned to me as a primary source of fear.
In the Middle East, conflicts in Syria and in Yemen have killed tens of thousands and displaced millions. The 10-year war in Syria and the sanctions imposed on the country have hampered delivery of medicines and medical supplies, leaving hospitals ill-equipped to deal with the war and a pandemic. One doctor in Idlib province said the health system would collapse with both a war raging and a pandemic virus spreading.
After 10 years of dealing with bombing casualties and the targeting of health facilities, the coronavirus pandemic has really increased the burden on us. If cases of COVID-19 continue to increase, the health sector will completely collapse.
The World Health Organization said that over half of the country's health facilities had been damaged or destroyed since the start of the civil war in 2011. In Yemen, the Saudi Arabian-led coalition has been battling Iranian-backed Houthi rebels in swathes of the country. Much of Yemen's infrastructure has been destroyed, and with humanitarian aid sparse or redirected to the rebels themselves rather than the population, a famine was born. Adding to that COVID-19, Yemen and its people may well be suffering the worst humanitarian disaster currently happening in the world. The International Committee for the Red Cross's humanitarian coordinator to Yemen, Avril Patterson, said it was difficult to understand what will happen in Yemen.
There's so many factors. There's a lack of testing, lack of data generally, and we don't honestly, we're not at the forefront of understanding or mapping or predicting really what will happen in Yemen.
For Iran, 2020 was a tumultuous year. Though there is no military conflict raging there now, the potential for one grew this past year as Iran suffered the assassination of Major General Qasem Soleimani, head of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, as well as the killing of the nation's top nuclear scientist, Mohsen Fakhrizadeh. Iran blamed both killings on Israel. Iran's president, Hassan Rouhani, says sanctions against Iran for its nuclear program have left his nation sidelined to deal with the pandemic on its own.
All of us across the globe are experiencing difficult times during the pandemic. However, my nation, the resilient people of Iran, instead of enjoying global partnership and cooperation, is grappling with the harshest sanctions in history imposed in blatant and gross violation of the Charter of the United Nations, International Agreements, and Security Council Resolution 2231.
Iran is one of the worst countries affected by COVID-19, with more than 48,000 deaths. With armed conflicts taking place on almost every continent, the UNHCR, in its latest annual report released in June, said the number of asylum seekers, internally displaced people, and refugees worldwide shot up by nearly 9 million people between 2019 and mid-2020, the biggest rise in its records. With several vaccines on the verge of being ready for distribution around the world, the pandemic may well be in its final months. According to UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, the greatest battle the world faces is against the coronavirus.
We have seen when countries go in their own direction, the virus goes in every direction. We must act in solidarity. Far too little assistance has been extended to countries with the fewest capacities to face the challenge. In an interconnected world, it is time to recognize a simple truth. Solidarity is self-interest. If we fail to grasp that fact, everyone loses.
Assam Al-Ghalib, SBS News.